now, at 8:30, Saturday Night Theatre, Lonely Beat, adapted by David Bramley from the novel by William Keenan.
As well, lousy scupper.
Turn in the corner.
I'd have done him if you'd walked across the street. I hate scuppers. I'd have done him, I would.
Oh, we believe you. Thousands wouldn't.
Hey, he's gone now, so everything's all right.
Get the expert. Thinks he knows all about it. Just because he nicked a ballpoint pen out of Woolies when the sales girl wasn't looking. Thinks he's another Al Capone.
You can't trust scuppers. He'd be round the corner waiting to pounce.
No. You're looking for a bit of warm. Into Carter's Bakery for hot buttered scones and a jug of Java. Scuffer heaven, that is, haven't you heard?
Here, listen, do we wait for him coming out or move on?
Oh, move on.
I want to go home. Yay, listen to Crybaby. He wants his mumsy wumsy and his goodly little teddy bear.
Ah, leave off him. This is his first time. You weren't so hot your first time either. Come on, might as well start the car. We'll do a shot further up the street. Eyes wide open for a likely target, Jimmy. Remember me, old son. This is what we come for in the first place.
I feel sick, Les. I do.
Swallow hard and hold your stomach. You hold it wrong. That one looks likely.
News agents. Sweetson's a backer. Whatever's left in the till. Just about our number, that is.
Yeah, looks likely. Nobody about either. Handy, very handy.
Hey. Time our little Jimmy cut his teeth, into. He has to start sometime.
Hey, not me. I couldn't.
Yeah, you could, Jimmy. Nothing to it. Look, sellotape over the door glass. Handkerchief wrapped round the knuckles. First whammo through the glass, and then spring the lock. The door opens like it were Christmas. Isn't that right, Ron?
There's nothing to it. It's a piece of cake.
But I've had no practice. I mean...
Practice on that door over there, Jimmy. You'll make it. You'll see.
No, Les, please.
You listen to me cry, baby. You're going because if you don't, we'll smash that plate glass window and then we'll yell our heads off at the scuffers. Then they'll come running, and believe me, when they get here, we'll point the finger directly at you.
Wait, don't let him push me out, Les.
Go on, Jimmy. You heard him. He means it, and so do I.
Go on, move it, Jimmy. And don't take too long over it. We'll give you 10 minutes. If you're not out by then, we'll blow the whistle and scarper. Bring him in, Les. He could foul up the whole deal.
Well, I haven't much option. Dogs me tracks like a scuffer's bloodhound. Still, you never know. He might turn into a likely lad.
Nah, him. He's a martyr if ever I saw one.
Yeah. Not so fast with the martyr bit. Look. He's through the glass and fiddling with the lock.
Hey.
Half a dollar on him cutting his finger and bleeding to death.
No, no. He's got the door open. And he's in.
I told you he might turn out likely.
Nah, he's got to get his stuff out of the shop yet. And without waking whoever it is that sleeps within the flat above.
Oh, light on his feet is Jimmy. And he can move fast.
Hey, like that scuffer.
What?
The bleating scuffer is coming up the other side of the street.
Just sit still and look innocent. With any luck, he'll walk straight past.
Look, he's seen us. Let's get out of here.
Shut up.
Keep still. But he's coming on.
Listen, if he says anything, you keep your lip button and let me do the talking. Evening, Constable. Lovely night for ducks.
Is it?
Get that wrong. Smart is our Constable. Answers quick as a flash.
Yeah, quick as a flash. I think we can do without the comedy. Now, come on. Both of you out the car onto the pavement. I want to have a look at you.
Now, now just hold on a minute, Constable. We're not doing anything unlawful, are we, Ron?
No. No, of course not. We wouldn't think of it.
How about loitering?
We're not loitering, are we, Ron?
No. We're waiting for our friend.
And where might this alleged friend be?
Over there, see?
Huh? Where?
Get it, Ron. Give it to him. And again, Ron. Make sure of him. He knows our faces.
Hold his arms.
I've got him.
All right, Scooper. This is for all my mates, you lot of packed up dumb bastards.
He's out now, Ron. Leave him. Into the car, let's get out of it.
Right. Right.
Hey, what about Jimmy?
All right, here he comes, looking scared to death. Must have heard the noise.
Hey, the scuffer's hurt. He's moaning.
Shut your face and get in here. We've got to be out of here before the local citizens decide to have a go.
Hey, but we can't leave him like that.
No, of course we can't. We don't intend to, do we, Ron?
No, Les, we don't.
Look out! You're gonna hit him!
Yeah.
Oh, God! Oh, God, you've done for him now! You've really done for him!
Well, you're comfortable, ma'am, the healthy lad. I don't expect any reverse. I'd say he was doing very nicely. I'm pleased with his progress. The knife wound is almost healed. He took it in the chest. Luckily, the aim was awry and the blade glanced off a rib. Painful, but at least not fatal. It could have been, Chief Superintendent. It could have been. I suppose that's why you're here.
That is one of the reasons, yes.
Nasty business. Well, the escape car ran over his ankle. Luckily, Mahon regained consciousness as the car approached, saw it, and managed to drag himself out of the way. I don't think there could be any doubt about the driver's intentions. Mahon is very emphatic. He says it was attempted murder.
Oh, does he? Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Well, he'll suffer a limp for the rest of his life, but then he's lucky to survive at all, isn't he?
Yes, he is, Doctor. Very lucky indeed.
Crime Squad Chief Inspector Bryan speaking. Accounts? About my pay, is it? I always said I deserved an increase. Who? How do you spell it? M-A-R-N-E. P.C. John Mahon. Yes, I know the name, but he's not with the Regional Crime Squad. Not in this area, anyway.
Morning, Bert.
Oh, one moment, accounts. Chief Superintendent Miller's just come in. I'll ask him.
Ask him what?
Accounts on the line, sir. They've P.C. John Mahon's pay packet sitting in their office, and they don't know what to do with it. Should I tell them?
Humour was never your strong point, Bert.
This P.C. Mahon, he's not with us, sir.
Well, I'm aware of that. But he will be, Bert. He will be. You can count on it.
Hello, accounts. Sorry to keep you waiting. You can have Mahon's pay transferred to this office. Yes. For how long? How would I know? I'm only a chief inspector.
Close the door before the draft blows me out.
In my book, November is the worst month of the year. Cold and damp.
Ah, you're getting old, Bert.
I am, and you're getting crafty.
Crafty? I don't understand.
You've called me Bert about 4 times already. Now, that means you're up to something. And when you're up to something, I'm in trouble. Now, you better tell me all about it and give me time to prepare my defense.
You know me too well. I'll have to arrange your transfer.
Like you arranged Mahon's?
Oh, no, not quite. I've had a word, that's all. Police Constable John Mahon's a very interesting customer, Bert. He speaks 2 languages, French and Spanish, and he has his O-levels in Latin and modern history.
Can he catch villains?
Well, the last time he tried, he caught a knife in the chest.
Did he now? John Mahon. Oh, yes, I've placed him now. He had to go at 3 shot breakers the night Jack Asprey was murdered.
Yeah, he did. Ended up in hospital for his trouble.
Not very impressive.
Read the case. Of the file here. When you're finished with it, you can tell me what you think.
All right. I mentioned the Asprey murder. Mahon's coming into the squad wouldn't have anything to do with that case, now, would it?
Oh, it might. You tell me.
Well, it's an unsolved crime. We had 200 detectives working on it without any satisfactory conclusion.
We had to pull them out because of other work.
And you didn't like to do it.
What CID likes an unsolved murder on its books?
But the Asprey killing was just one case. Oh, I admit that pulling our lads out after all that hard work is guaranteed to increase our blood pressure. But what else could we do?
You know my idea.
This business of one man working exclusively on one case...
A man with unlimited time, the rest of his career if necessary.
Oh, it's
crazy.
A dream, maybe. But one with a chance.
You mean this new man, this man?
I'd rest with him. You see, for the type of work I have in mind, the man has to be exceptional. I couldn't do it. To be frank, Bert, neither could you.
No, I wouldn't want to try.
Neither does Marn, at the moment.
But you've had his prey transferred to this office.
He leaves hospital today. He's going to the south of France. His mother lives there. Saint-Sever. Marn says the local wine's marvellous.
Aye, and the sunshine. I can understand the attraction the place has for him.
But getting there will take money.
And money means pay.
You've got it.
Well, I'll be missing all that sunshine.
He's not going to be pleased, sir.
In my day, uniformed constables referred to senior ranks as sir. A common enough courtesy, you might say, P.C. Marn. On the other hand, you might not, you being of the younger generation.
I'm sorry, sir. It's just that, well, I've only an hour to reach the airport.
I'll accept that as an excuse for your bad manners. Not that I think it's reasonable, mind. Now, what was it you said about your pay?
Well, I was told that it had been transferred to this office.
Told by whom?
The divisional sergeant. He couldn't give a reason for it. He said something about it being easier for me to come round here instead of him wasting his time on the telephone.
Suggesting we waste his time. I'll have to have a word with him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Constable. Now, why would your pay be transferred here?
I don't know, sir.
You're not joining as a detective, are you?
Definitely not, sir.
I'm not sure I like the way you said that. I'm trying very hard to allow for the fact that you've just left hospital. But don't try me too far now. Is that understood?
Yes, sir. I apologize, sir.
Yes, I should think you do. Now, you try to curb your annoyance and I'll have a word with my chief.
Yeah?
Brian here, sir. I've a PC Marn out here. And he's kicking up all kinds of tarnations about his pay. He says it's been transferred to this office. But I can't find any record of it.
Send him in, Bert.
Sir, you're to see my boss, Chief Superintendent Miller, through that door.
Thank you, sir.
Marn.
Sir?
We may call Mr. Miller Dusty, but only behind his back. We say sir to his face, and we mean it.
Come in.
Chief Inspector Bryan said you wanted to see me, sir.
Yes, indeed. Shut the door and come and sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, you'd like coffee? Well, of course you would. Bert?
Sir?
Two coffees. And not the usual poisonous brew. Blue Mountain and brown sugar. Black for me. You take milk, Mon.
Oh, black for me, sir.
Oh, good lad. Both black, Bert. And quick about it.
Right, sir.
Oh, now, how's the chest and the leg?
Oh, fine, sir. The hospital staff did a good job. I do have a bit of a limp, perhaps you noticed.
No, I didn't, but you thinking I might means you're sensitive about it. Don't be. It isn't the end of the world.
Well, just my career.
Now, you know what I think about that, John. Oh, I can't call you John, by the way.
Oh, of course, sir. I have a feeling I'm not cut out to be a detective, sir. I have no sense of vocation.
Vocation's a funny word. One I've never really understood. Devotion to duty, yes. Dedication, too, but vocation?
A calling, sir.
I'm aware of the dictionary definition.
Sorry, sir.
You're a pedantic young man, aren't you?
Not at all detective material.
I'll decide that, if you don't mind. Ah.
Well, it may not be Blue Mountain, but it's the best I can do.
Ever been served coffee by a chief inspector before, John?
No, sir.
Mark it down to experience, one you'll never forget. Thank you, Bert.
My pleasure. Any time.
Bert didn't think he was cut out to be an admin officer. I managed to change his mind.
As you hope to change mine.
I'll advise you to the best of my ability. If you've any sense, you'll listen.
Well, yes, sir, but I...
But...
Well, I have a plane to catch inside the hour, sir.
Marn, you're still a member of the force. I'd ask you to remember it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, stop fidgeting about like a schoolgirl and listen to me. I'm a detective because I chose to be. I'm a good detective because I've worked at it. I'm a chief superintendent because someone recognized my ability and decided to make use of it. And they were right. And that's not the boasting that it sounds.
No, sir.
No, sir. I think I see a similar ability in you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, it's no compliment, believe me. We need good detectives. But I warn you, you'll work until you drop and then you'll work again. You'll suffer, You'll curse me until pension day. But you'll solve cases and put the villains behind bars, their rightful place. Because I believe just that, I want you here, in the regional crime squad. What do you say?
Well, just like that, with no time to think about
it. You've had time enough to think in hospital. Now's the time for decision. You either walk out of that door with your pay and no career, or you remain in that chair and listen to me outline your first case as a detective with the regional crime squad. Now, which is it to be?
Well, I suppose there are other flights to France.
Good man. And other months of the year in which to travel. November's no good to anyone. I never liked it.
And my pay, sir?
Well, Chief Inspector Bryan will deal with any query you might have.
The thought does cross my mind, sir, that you were... had my pay transferred, knowing full well that I... What?
A good detective's also a good con man, John. You'll learn. Now, down to business. There is a job I have in mind for you, and the basic outline of it is this. And with other crimes mounting in the area, I had to withdraw men from the Asprey investigation. First the detective inspectors, then the sergeants, finally the constables. 200 men all told, and the case still open on the books. Not at all tidy, wouldn't you say?
Yet those same men covered a lot of ground and interviewed everyone concerned.
With one exception.
The murderer.
The murderer of Jack Asprey. Or maybe they did interview him, but he was too fly.
And you want me to...
Find, arrest, and secure a conviction in the court. I don't like unsolved murders, John, and I'm not prepared to have one on my patch.
It's a tall order, sir.
To succeed where 200 of the best detectives in the country failed. Of course it's a tall order. But you have two things on your side. You're new to the case and bring a fresh outlook to it. And you can have an unlimited amount of time in which to solve it. And when I say unlimited, that's exactly what I mean. The rest of your career, if necessary.
I've never heard of that approach before, sir.
No, you haven't. But it's been a dream of mine for a long time. Bryan could tell you just how long. He doesn't agree with me, you know. Thinks it might have a harmful effect on the man assigned to it. It's up to you, John, to prove him wrong.
I can see why he's doubtful about it.
Do you want to pull out now? Well, there's still time. You only got to say the word, and I'll call it a day. You can walk out of this office a comparatively free man.
It is a challenge.
Indeed.
Where would I begin?
With this file on the Asprey case. Read thoroughly and inwardly digest. And when you've digested, have a word with Manny Thompson. He owns the Pym Club.
Of which Asprey was manager.
Right. And one who, although earning only £30 a week, managed to have a bank balance of £15,000.
Oh, Detective Constable Mann, don't forget your pay.
I was about to, sir. Thanks for reminding me.
When I said Detective Constable, I wasn't being premature, was I?
It seems not, sir. I'm still trying to catch up with the idea.
And the Asprey murder.
Oh, you noticed the file? It came as a bit of a shock. One moment thinking of lazy days spent in the sun, the next with a murder dumped in my lap.
Oh, now you know why we call Dusty Sir to his face, and why we mean it.
Yes, I do, sir.
Good. Well, at least you've learned something. I've had young men in here who couldn't learn anything in a month of Sundays. Not that they lasted. Dusty doesn't like dead wood.
Or dead club managers.
No CID wants an unsolved murder on its books.
I know, sir. Oh, I realise that.
Well, man, here's your pay. Now, my advice is bank everything except what you need for keeping alive. By the time you've worked through the Asprey file, you should have a healthy sum tucked away in your account. And then what price stands to here?
Or Bermuda.
Oh. Yes, I like a man with ambition and with guts. Hey, come here. Now, I'm going to risk an informant. Have a word with Manny Thompson, the owner of the Pym Club.
It's funny, sir, but Superintendent Miller said the same thing.
Eh? Oh, did he? Well, that just proves the saying that all great minds think alike. But watch out for Manny Thompson. He's a tough customer.
Yes, sir. I will, sir. Thanks for the advice.
Not at all. Oh, and man...
Sir?
Good luck.
Mr. Thompson?
Oh, I'm Manny Thompson. It's a long time since I was called Mister. I'm not collecting debts, are you? I've got a way of dealing with gents who collect debts.
Now, my name is Marn, from the Regional Crime Squad.
Ah, Jack. Well, I should have known, but me nose isn't what he was. And he busted, see? 5 times in the ring. Yeah, maybe you remember.
You used to wrestle.
As the masked terror. Never unmasked. How's that for a record, eh?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Listen, I tell you, there's never been a better man inside the ring. You see these arms? I could crush a gorilla, believe me. You want us to show you?
No, then,
listen, they're pretty good. I don't want a murder on me hands.
You've got one.
Well, Jack Asbury? Not me, copper. You got it. And you got 3 blocks of a blind alley with it, ain't you?
Progress is slow.
Yeah, you could say that again. 4 months now, where are you? I'll tell you where you are, Mr. Mon. And that is nowhere. You got as much chance of catching Jack's killer as I've got of winning this jackpot.
What were you saying about my chances?
No matter which way you look at it, the odds are against the player. All right, so you can laugh, but do I see a killer behind bars?
You could help.
I've helped already. You want the first copper to snoop around this club, Mr. Mon. There was a whole squad that night, asking questions, taking fingerprints, photographs, upsetting the customers.
Anyone particularly upset?
I don't rat on me table players. Aren't they me living?
What kind of living do you make, Manny?
Use your eyes. Do you see a Rolls Royce outside the door? You see me using Chanel No. 5 as shaving lotion. You see me lighting me cigar with fibers.
How much did you pay Jack Asprey to manage the Pym Club?
£30 a week plus expenses. No more, no less. And believe me, around here that is generous in the extreme.
And how come he'd save £15,000?
Why ask me? If I knew his system, wouldn't I be playing him myself?
He gambled?
Jack Asprey? No. He didn't gamble. When I mentioned his system, I meant about making money. Now, Mrs. Asprey, Jack's Mrs. might tell you. I can't. Oh, he found something, believe me, but not in this club. Well, take a look around. Think you can make 15,000 out of this place? Come up with yes and I'll make you an offer.
Asprey had some angle, Manny. How about blackmail?
In my club. This is a respectable house and I don't like your language.
You said Asprey had a sister.
Jack was a gent. A real gent. Natty dresser, nice voice, good manners. He didn't touch dirt.
Enemies?
This club ain't no kindergarten. It is strictly not for children. Enemies? Sure, Jack had enemies. Don't we all?
Well, was he ever involved in trouble? I mean, say a fight?
Look, do I employ a manager to involve himself in fights? I've got bouncers for the drunks and the poor losers. Why should my manager be involved, I ask you?
He was never involved?
Well, I wouldn't say never. Once, yes, he was involved. Well, but it wasn't so much a fight as an argument. All right, so a customer let go a right hand and Jack got a punch on the nose for his trouble. But that was his fault. I told him, Jack, I said, you keep out of it. And I've got men to handle it. But, yes, that once he was involved, Mr. Mon.
Names, Manny.
Now, that's funny. But I ain't got no memory for names. Faces, yeah, but not names. Not ever.
Edmund Manuel Thompson. Known as Manny, 2 convictions for inflicting grievous bodily harm. 3 months spent in Walton. You wouldn't stand a chance with the magistrates if I asked for the withdrawal of your license. And don't look at me like that. You can get a long sentence for an assault on a policeman. Now, come on, Manny. Now, why should we quarrel?
Bleeding coppers.
With a job to do. Now, I want those names.
When there's trouble, where'd you look? You look in the ladies' powder room, Mr. Marn, in the ladies' powder room.
A woman was involved.
Yeah, and a more toffee-nosed piece you never did see.
Called?
Mrs. Livers. Well, that's how you spell it, but she said Levers. And made it plain enough, believe me.
The wife of the insurance broker, Henry Levers. Well, he lives out of Bredbury. He's the local JP.
He could be the local archbishop for all I care. The chap she was with, and it wasn't her husband, Mr. Martin, took a swing at one of our regulars. There was a bit of bother. Table went over and 1 or 2 glasses were broken.
Who was the regular?
A photographer. I know he's a photographer because he used to stack his gear behind the bar. I don't know his name.
Local?
Could be.
Should be easy enough to check.
And you say Mrs. Levers caused the trouble?
You married?
Well, no. Well, why do you ask?
If you were, you'd know that women always cause the trouble. When there's a fuss, look for the bint. Grab her arm and heave her out onto the pavement. Only gently. Who wants a court case?
All right, Manny.
Hey, is that it?
For the moment.
Would I expect anything else?
Good afternoon.
I don't deal with doorstep traders. Good afternoon.
Just a moment.
I'm not prepared to argue, young man.
Mrs. Henry Levers?
Well, that doesn't impress me either. We do have a telephone and the directory is available to all and sundry. Now, will you go on your way unassisted or have I to call the police?
My name is Mahon, Mrs. Levers. A detective constable with the regional crime squad.
Oh. You do have some form of identification?
Yes, my warrant card here.
I see. Well?
Well, could we talk inside?
Well, I'm rather busy.
It is important.
Is it? Oh, well, all right. If I can only give you a few minutes, I have an appointment.
Well, that'll be time enough, Mrs. Levers. Thank you.
So, what can I do for you, Constable Mahon? You did say constable, didn't you?
A detective constable.
There's a difference?
A slight, but a difference. I'd like you to answer one or two questions.
Shouldn't I have my solicitor with me?
Well, I'm sure you're capable of handling your own affairs, Mrs. Levers.
Oh, are you? You should talk to my husband. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
A cigarette?
No, I don't, thank you.
Mm-hmm. No vices. I'll have to recommend you to my husband. You do know he's a JP?
Oh, yes, I do indeed.
Yes. Well, what did you want to ask me?
Were you being blackmailed by Jack Asprey?
Well, that's a bit direct.
If you say so. Were you being blackmailed?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, blackmail isn't the kind of crime one can be unsure about, is it?
No, it isn't, Mrs. Levers.
Then why ask such a damn fool question? Look, I'm sorry I snapped at you, but it took me by surprise. Did you intend to?
Blackmail is an unpleasant business, Mrs. Levers. I like to see it out in the open, then I can fight it.
Well, I appreciate your concern. But why would you think that I might have been blackmailed by this, Asprey?
Didn't you know him?
Well, I knew of him.
I'm investigating his murder.
But that was... Well, it was months ago. I thought the case was closed.
An unsolved murder is never closed to investigation, Mrs. Levers.
I suppose not. But why come to me?
Well, Asprey was the manager of the Pym Club. Would you frequent it?
Well, I wouldn't say frequent it.
Attend it.
On occasion.
You gambled?
In a small way. It seemed harmless enough.
Mrs. Levers, I want to be frank with you. We do have a file on Jack Asprey, and we know that you paid regular sums of money into his account.
To settle a gambling debt.
And yet you say you gambled only in a small way.
Well, the debt was accumulated over a period, and it was a cause of some embarrassment to me. I do have a certain social standing, you know what I mean?
You didn't want to tell your husband.
Oh, it might have been awkward for him.
He being a JP?
Yes.
So you paid off the debt in installments?
Yes. I resent having to tell you that I have no personal income of my own, but the fact remains that I have to rely on what my husband gives me, like so many other housewives. It's an unenviable position. I had to put a certain sum aside each month to cover the debt. As you say, I paid by installments. Why should I allow you to pry into what I consider my private affairs?
Mrs. Levers, I could caution you and take you down to headquarters, but I'd rather you told me the truth here in your own home. It would be easier for me and far less embarrassing for you.
I'm telling you the truth. I resent you saying that I'm not.
I believe Asprey was blackmailing you. That he had some evidence which he could use against you and that he threatened to take that evidence to your husband.
It isn't true.
I've seen all the tricks a woman uses and turning on the tears is just one of them.
I'm not prepared to say anything else without the presence of my solicitor.
I had hoped to avoid that, Mrs. Levers, but as you wish... Oh, just one point before I go. Jack Asprey is dead. But if what he held against you, the evidence I talked about, if that fell into other hands... Well, need I go on?
What makes you think that if indeed I was being blackmailed, I didn't destroy the evidence after Asprey's death?
I don't think you did, Mrs. Levers.
What you think doesn't bother me particularly.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. But if you are contacted again... Well, please let me know. It is important. Your peace of mind is at stake, you know.
I think that's my worry.
The murder of Jack Asprey is my worry. Well, I'll leave my telephone number, just in case.
I'm sure it's in the book.
You may get my chief, Charles Miller. He's not as easygoing as I am, Mrs. Levers. Not as easygoing at all.
Well, John, do you think she's lying?
She's afraid of her husband. It all seems natural enough.
From what I've heard of Mr. Henry Levers, J.P., he's not the nicest of men. Not nice at all. But then neither's blackmail or murder.
I'm sure Mrs. Levers is hiding something.
What's your next move?
I'm interested in the photographer who was involved with Mrs. Levers and her escort.
Compromising situations caught by the camera's eye, and a photographer with a dirt track for a mind.
Yeah, something like that.
This compromising situation, could it have been rigged?
Well, I suppose so, yes.
In the Pym Club?
Well, it seems a logical place. Well, all my inquiries bring me back to it. Mrs. Levers frequented the place. Manny Thompson owns it, and Jack Asprey was a club manager.
And the photographer was a regular.
Yeah.
But you don't know the name of the photographer.
No, sir.
I tell you what, you have a word with Ron Kay. Do you know him?
Well, I know of him.
Yeah, he's a crime reporter, one of the best in the business. And he's a good friend of the crime squad. Because it pays him to be, you understand.
On mutual confidences.
Information on a 50-50 basis.
Information?
A story. Something to keep his wolf of an editor satisfied. You'll find Ron Kay in Yates's main wine lodge, usually. Well, he isn't a lunchtime drinker, but he shows his face in case somebody has something for him.
Well, thanks, sir.
And, John, after you've seen Ron Kay, why not go and talk to the wife of the murdered man, Mrs. Asprey?
Any particular line?
Manny Thompson suggested it to you, didn't he? Mrs. Asprey's selling her husband's car. The advertisement was in last night's paper. Have a look at the vehicle. You never know. There might be a lead somewhere.
Well, thanks again, sir.
Don't thank me, John.
We chiefs do have our uses.
Oh, I know your chief, Charles Miller.
Yes, we've helped each other in the past. Look, we can't talk here. Let's go find a quiet corner.
You are joking, of course.
Here we are. Free table. And if you've never believed in miracles, now's the time to change your mind.
I believe. I believe finding you at all in this crowd was miracle enough.
Aye. Look at them. The great British press. The upholders of prestige. Defenders of the faith. Watchdogs of the nation. All boozing hard enough to qualify for coronaries and wondering frantically just who's going to provide their next paragraph. Yeah, it's a depressing business, John Marn.
Well, you look well enough on it.
Born and bred to it, that's why. Printer's ink instead of blood in my veins. What about you? Are you going to survive?
Well, I'm going to try.
Well said. I'm sure you are. I know about the stabbing. Part of my job. And the escape car running over your ankle. About the three who attacked you. Did the police ever make an arrest?
Yes, they did indeed.
Ah.
They're awaiting trial.
One of them might prove useful to you. When he comes out of prison, that is. Learn to cultivate him. Do what you can for his family when he's inside. Well, it's like tending a plant. With the right sort of care, it should flower.
I don't like informers.
They're as essential to your profession as they are to mine, John Marr. Don't knock the informer.
Yeah, as long as you don't consider me in that category.
Oh, dear me. Hurt your feelings, did I? Well, what are we to call it, then? An exchange of information?
On a 50-50 basis?
Ah, Charles Miller has had a word, I see. All right. But at the moment, it's going to be a bit one way, isn't it? I might have something for you. You have nothing for me, right?
As you say, at the moment.
Yes. Well, why not? What do you want to know?
Well, it's about a photographer. He used to frequent the Pym Club.
Photographer? Yeah. Probably Philip Fetters. Mind you, he hasn't been seen for a while. You might have trouble in finding him.
Fetters? Thanks. And Miller said you'd help.
On that 50-50 basis we talked about.
Of course.
I've a feeling about you, John Marn. I think you're going to crack the Asprey case.
Thanks.
And when you do, I want the full story. I've already thought of a title. Lonely Beat. How'd you like it?
It's a bit melodramatic, isn't it?
Ah, the readers will love it. And rightly. But a word of warning about your chief, Charles Miller. He's clever and cunning. And he can be ruthless.
Now, doesn't he need to be?
Yes. But like all good generals, he'd sacrifice men to gain an objective.
You mean he might sacrifice me?
Yes. So be very, very careful. I've an interest in suffering humanity, and I don't want to lose the source of good stories.
You've really got me worried.
Jack Asprey had a finger in many pies, but one of the juiciest was one-armed bandits. They're big business, John Marn, and coupled with gambling clubs make a mighty big magnet to attract what you might call undesirable aliens to this part of the world.
Oh, you mean gangsters?
I do.
That is melodramatic.
No. Stateside gangs are interested in our homegrown clubs. They contact a local man over here, give him sweet talk and a big budget, and turn him loose as a scout.
Yeah, but scouts are mobile. I mean, Asprey was rooted in the Pym Club.
Now, I'm not saying Asprey was the scout. I don't think he was. But I do believe he was contacted by this travelling man, Rep, call him what you will, and that he agreed to cooperate. Well, could have been nasty for him if he'd refused. A petrol bomb through a club window does an awful lot of damage.
Oh, come on, Mr. Cameron. You can't really expect me to believe any of this.
I can, and I do. And you'd best believe it, too. I think Asprey was the victim of a gang killing. I don't know what his particular offence was, but I'd lay odds at 10-1 that he'd angered his stateside bosses, enough for them to pass the word to a hired executioner.
Yeah, but this isn't Chicago.
Oh, no. This is dear old England. It's also the age of violence, the age of quick profit, duck and run. The stakes are the highest ever, and the players in the game know that it's all or nothing. Don't dismiss gang killings. I could quote to you three recent cases that would make your hair stand on end.
And where would this photographer, Philip Fettes, fit into the scheme?
Could be the agent, the travelling man.
The idea of Asprey blackmailing club customers doesn't wash with you, then?
Well, if it was Asprey's sideline, maybe. Fettes, a photographer. Yes, he could have been asked to help. Maybe he did. If you don't find him, you'll know he double-crossed his stateside holders, too.
Well, you think he might have been removed?
You're looking doubtful. You're too transparent for a copper, old son. But even if you do find what I said too difficult to swallow, accept my advice, keep your eyes and ears open. If you hear a footstep behind you, turn it and ask questions afterwards.
And clobber an innocent citizen.
If this gang thought you were getting close to them, they'd do something about it. I mean it. This game is for big boys, John Marn. Dirty, dangerous. So watch out.
Yes, I will. Thanks for the warning.
Any time. Now it's your turn. What are your immediate plans? Not for publication, just to satisfy my curiosity.
Well, Miller said something about Mrs. Asprey wanting to sell her husband's car.
Oh, and you're in the market. Oh, best of British luck to you. Asprey had a Mercedes. The police force must have had a pay rise.
This is the garage, Mr.
Ma.
If you wouldn't mind just lifting the door. Oh,
of course.
I'm afraid the car stood since Jack's death. I don't drive, you see. Always meant to learn, but never found the time.
I thought your husband owned a Mercedes.
Oh, yes, he did, but that's at the local garage. Very proud of it was Jack. He liked to keep it in good order. Now, this one was a standby. Well, the second car. Jack liked the idea of a second car. Sort of prestige, if you know what I mean. The Aspreys are the two-car family. He was that sort of man.
Do you mind if I look inside?
Take your time. I hope you like it. Oh, I'll be glad to have it off my hands. And it seems such a waste. It's standing here when a family could benefit from its use. You'll be a family man, Mr. Marn.
I know. This road map, Mrs. Asprey, of the Lake District. Your husband's?
I suppose so.
Was he a fisherman?
Oh, not Jack. He wouldn't have known one end of a rod from the other.
I see.
Do you fish, Mr. Marn?
Well, yes, on occasion. Most times in troubled waters, Mrs. Asprey. I'm a policeman, you see.
A policeman?
Yes, sir. I'm investigating the death of your husband.
Then the car?
I'm sorry. I'm not in the market, love.
Well, don't expect me to tell you anything new. I gave all my ideas to those detectives who came round to see me the day after Jack died. Oh, I told them a thing or two. Well, I was upset, of course.
Not only with the news about Jack, I thought it might have something to do with the photographs.
The photographs?
Jack had a parcel of them and he left it on the sideboard. I thought it was for me and I started opening it. And then he came in. He hit me, Mr. Mann. The first time in our married life and he hit me. I didn't know they were so important. He said I'd no business to go around opening his parcels. Well, I told him it was an accident. But he didn't seem to believe me.
There, now, don't upset yourself, Mrs. Asprey. Now, you know, try my handkerchief.
Thank you. I remembered the parcel when they told me.
About his death?
Yes.
These photographs, I'd like to see them.
Oh, that's just it. So would others. But I don't have them now. I told that woman only yesterday. I don't have them, I said. She offered me money. She said I could have as much as I liked if I handed them over.
Wouldn't know her name.
No. Is it important?
It could be. Was she well-dressed, about 35 or 6, attractive face, slanted brown eyes, say, were your height, and a little,
Shapelier? You don't have to be polite, Mr. Mann. I know I look like a sack of potatoes on occasions. Yes, that could be her. You've got a good eye.
Mrs. Leavers.
Sorry?
Well, oh, it doesn't matter. Now, look, about these photographs, did you see them?
Enough to notice that they were photographs, but not to identify any one of them. They were rolled up. Jack had made a sort of, cylinder of them.
Cylinder?
Yes.
I see.
You won't want to look at the car now, will you?
Oh, yes, yeah, just in case. Oh, flat battery.
Oh, is that bad?
Oh, nothing a charge couldn't cure. Now, look, hang on. I'll back up my own car. I have some long leads. I can run from my passenger to the starter on yours.
It sounds all right. Is there enough petrol? If someone comes to look at it, I don't want the engine dying on them.
I'll run the car down to the local garage. Have them put a gallon in the tank.
Oh, I don't want to put you to any trouble.
Well, it's no trouble. After all, it's the least I can do.
Yes, sir, and what can I do you for?
1 gallon of 3-star, please.
1 gallon?
I'm doing someone a favour.
Not me, sir. Not with only 1 gallon. Still better than nothing. You're Jack Asprey's old heap, isn't it?
Well, how do you know I haven't bought this car?
Nah, not you. You look as though you're more sense.
Thanks.
Anyone buys this buys a load of trouble. Jack used to bring it down here for servicing, and I'd tell him to get rid. Bought himself a Merc in the end, but he kept tight hold of this monster. I worked on it about 6 months back. Had a go at the engine. Needed a miracle to put it right.
What did Asprey want doing to the engine? Tuning?
You're joking, I hope. That engine could be tuned with a 16-pound hammer. Now, as a car, that heap qualifies for the old age pension. Should be retired, put out to grass. Yeah, one thing about the last job I did for Jack. He wouldn't let me do it down here where I've ready access to all the necessary tools. Now, he wanted the job doing in his own garage. Well, I didn't like it. But he paid promptly, and that's rare enough, believe me.
He always paid cash?
Well, yeah, always. And on the nail. So why wouldn't I do a good customer a favour? Mind you, as a job of work, it was far from being satisfactory. He wouldn't let me finish the reassembly of the engine.
Oh? Why not?
Said he wanted to have a go himself. But he was all left thumbs. As a mechanic, he'd have made a good painter. But he passed over a quid or two. I wished him luck, and upped it.
How far had you progressed with the engine?
Not far. I tightened down the cylinder head, but the manifold and water pipes were off.
Look, I'm no mechanic. Would you like to show me?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we'll just have the bonnet up. Yeah, so, you see, this is the manifold, and that was off, and these pipes. Aye.
What is it?
Someone's been mucking about inside here, mate. Here, I don't leave nuts undone. Look at this.
So someone's been working on it?
Yeah, mauling it more like. The Amandit twit.
Asprey?
No, even he had more sense.
Look, could you swear to it that this cylinder head had been removed after you'd worked on it?
Yeah, of course I could. Yeah, but why should I?
I'm a policeman. I'm from the regional crime squad. I'm investigating the murder of Jack Asprey. Now, the removal of this cylinder head could have some bearing on the case.
Yeah, could it? Well, if you say so. A copper, eh? You're a crafty one.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, I bet. Now, I like Jack Asprey. I really did. Look, if I can help...
Good. Look, may I use your telephone?
If you put a tanner in the box, of course you can.
Your blackmail theory looks more credible by the minute, John. Forensics stripped the car. Here's the report. They say that a container of some sort had been inserted into one of the cylinders of the engine. That container could have held photographs.
Or anything else.
Oh, we'll stick with the photographs idea. Mrs. Asprey did mention them after all, and you say Mrs. Levers chased after them.
Yeah, after I put the idea in our mind.
Well, you had to do something. At least you've made progress.
Anything else of interest in the car, sir?
Fishing rods in the boot. Was Asprey a fisherman?
Well, his wife says not. But there was a road map of the Lake District.
Yes, there was. He might have used the fishing tackle as cover.
Well, cover for what, sir?
Well, that's for you to find out. You were intending a recuperative holiday, weren't you?
Recuperative holiday?
That's as good an excuse as any. Take a long, hard look at this map, Miller. What do you see?
Well, it's the road map taken from Asbury's car. Or one like it.
Yeah, the same map. Go over it, tell me about it.
This is a lake of some sort.
Duthwaite Tarn.
Someone's ringed it in pencil.
They have indeed.
It held something of interest?
You're going to find that out, John. I hope.
Well, when do I start?
No time like the present, I'd say.
Well, fresh ash would do me some good, anyway.
Yes, put the bloom back in your cheeks. Winter in the Lake District can be very invigorating. But for goodness sake, don't catch pneumonia. Oh, and one other thing, John. One other thing, John. We tried to trace the photographer, Philip Fetters. We found her address. The boys paid it a visit without success, I'm afraid. No one's been there in a long while. Huge pile of mail on the mat.
Well, he could have skipped it, or else he's...
Yeah?
Well, I don't know. It's something the reporter Ron Kay said. Well, he had the idea that if Fetters had gone missing... Well, it could be, because he tried to double-cross... Well, a person... Or an organisation.
So Kay said that much, did he?
Well, he had a theory about Asprey's murder.
Let me guess. A gang killing.
Yes, sir.
Well, he could be right, of course. We know the temptation our gambling clubs offer to unscrupulous men who want to buy in or who offer protection of a sort. Just in case the theory holds water, John, take care.
I will, sir. I'm known for it.
Oh, Kay did say something else.
No, about what?
About you, sir.
I hope it was complimentary.
It all depends on how you look at it. He said you were a good general.
A good general. Now, I wonder what he meant by that.
Hello?
Evening, sir. Sorry to keep you waiting, but there was an exciting bit on the telly. Nothing like a bit of blood and thunder on a cold night like this. Now, what are you having?
Oh, yes, thanks, sir. I'll have a pint of mild.
Pint of mild, right.
Will you have one? Keep me company.
Oh, thank you, sir. I could drop a mild myself. Does the old stomach good? Light milk is my mild. Even though it does sound like bossy. Which it is. there we are, sir. 1 and 10 to you and 11 to my half. That's 2 and 9, please. Or was there anything else?
No, not at the moment, thanks.
Thank you. Well, you're good health, sir.
Cheers. Oh, beautiful.
Thank you, sir. Next pint's on me. Have you come far?
No, Manchester.
Oh, far enough on a night like this. All this rain. Get a lot of water up here because of the hills. Still, if we didn't get water, we wouldn't have lakes, and the lakes is things that keep people like me in business.
Quieter this time of the year.
It is that time. But I don't mind. Nor does the wife. Gives us time to gather our strength for the new season. We need the rest, you know. Mind you, I like to see the odd customer, such as yourself. And somebody new to talk to, a new face.
Have you got a good memory for faces?
Well, good enough, I'd say. Why do you ask?
Well, look, I'd like to have a look at this photograph. Tell me if you've seen the face before.
Oh.
Here, this one.
Just a minute, I'll get my glasses. No. Good Lord, what happened to him?
An accident. That's a morgue photograph.
Oh, that gives me the creeps.
Well, look, I'd be interested to know if that man stayed locally about, say, 6 months ago. Well, maybe more.
6 months? You're asking a lot. Police?
Regional crime squad.
Oh, big stuff, eh? Oh, well, you've got a kind face, and I've enjoyed the chat. I'd like to help you. Let's see, this face. It is familiar, you know. It is. Just give me a minute to try to think. 6 months ago, you said?
Yes.
Would he be one of the party?
Well, he might have been. Well, I don't know for sure.
Yes, one of a party. I remember now. Said they were up here for the fishing. But have you ever seen anybody fish in the best bib and tucker? I bet you haven't. And they didn't do any, as I remember it. Oh, that's right. I know this face. But he didn't stay in the pub.
Did he stay locally?
He did. Yes, he did. With the others. They all stayed at the Barraby place, close to the tarn. It's nice and quiet at an old hill farm, but... You see, old man Barraby, who owns the place, is an invalid. He sold the farmland and opened up the house to visitors. He has a daughter, Anne, who helps when she can. She's a schoolteacher.
And the name of this farm?
Farset. Farset Farm.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Anna, look, just one more question before we get round to drinking. How many men were in this party?
Four, perhaps five. I couldn't say exactly.
Four or five.
Mm.
Good. Well, thanks very much for your help.
You'll be going down to see the Barrabies, isn't you?
Yes, I will.
There was some talk when that party was staying. It weren't much more than gossip, really.
Well, I'm interested in anything, fact or fancy.
Well, some of the locals said there'd been trouble.
And I'd like to know just what that trouble was, Miss Barraby.
Oh, I suppose we were a bit stupid. We advertised for visitors in all innocence, without really knowing what the job entailed. We thought we could cater for families, young people with children.
And these men were not what you had in mind?
Hardly. They liked to drink, you see. After the Red Lion closed at night, they'd bring bottles back to the house and drink until the small hours. Oh, they made a lot of noise and mess.
You didn't like them?
No, I didn't. There was something strange about them.
Strange?
Yes, something... sinister. Oh, I know it sounds silly, but... Well, I'm used to dealing with children, Mr. Mahon. And these men were... Well, they frightened me.
How?
It was just their manner. Children can be frightening on occasion, but at the back of your mind, you always know that you can deal with them. It was different with that group of men. There was an underlying violence. They were... menacing. I was frightened to do or say anything, really.
Yes, I know how you felt.
That's reassuring.
Yes, well, now, why do you think they came here?
This out-of-the-way place, do you mean?
Yes.
They wanted to meet somewhere without being interrupted. A sort of business conference. although I hate to think what sort of business.
You didn't hear any of it, I suppose.
Oh, impossible not to in a place as small as this one. I heard enough not to like it. They talk very loudly.
Presumably you didn't object.
Just the once. I asked them to make less noise. It didn't make any difference to their behaviour. I was very relieved to see them go. If they were a fair sample of visitors, we'd rather do without, thank you very much.
Well, I wouldn't call them average holiday makers.
No. They did say they were here for the fishing, but only one of them put a line into water, without much success, I might add.
Now, which one would that be?
The photographer, I think.
Photographer? Fetters?
Yes. Yes, that's it. Fetters. Philip Fetters.
Oh. So he was one of them, was he?
Yes. The others didn't seem to like him very much, and he didn't stay as long as them.
Didn't he? Now, that is interesting.
Is it? Why?
Well, Miss Ballaby, we've been trying to trace him, so far, without success.
Oh, I see.
Well, still, that isn't my worry. Well, not at the moment, anyway. Now, what I'd like from you are the names and addresses of the men who stayed here.
I get the register. I have to keep some record for tax people. Here it is. Now, yes, here they are. They booked for a week, but only stayed 4 days. Except for Fetters. He was here for only 2 days.
Now, their names, their addresses, and whatever description you can give me of them, Miss Powderby.
You'd better call me Anne.
Oh. Well, I'm John.
Honest John?
Not according to my chief.
You've an honest face. Not like this lot. Now, we're going back some time, but I'll do my best to help. They all seem to defer to a man called Roland Jones. He was in his 60s, I should think. A self-made businessman type with a paunch and a bald head. Very assured, very smooth, and very sinister.
And his address?
Let me see. The Cottage, Hall Lane, Bredbury.
Bredbury? Oh, that is a coincidence.
In what way?
Oh, it's just that Mrs. Liebes lives in Bredbury. Oh, sorry, please go on.
A Frank Rainton of Parlingway Flats, Bredbury again.
And his description?
Oh, dark, 40-ish. And he had a small scar on his cheek.
Oh, good. That scar should help with identification.
You think he's a criminal?
Well, I think they're all criminals, Anne. But what their crime is something I've got to find out. Now, look, you've mentioned three of the men, including Fetters. Now, who was the fourth?
Oh, this one's easy, because he was an American. Robert Illum. Oh, late 30s and putting on weight. The kind of weight Americans do seem to put on, you know.
Yes, I do. Now, did he give any address?
Not really, no. He said he stayed in a London hotel.
Well, with all this information, we should be able to accomplish something. Up to now, we haven't known who they were. And now they're people. And people can be dealt with.
Oh, I'm not too sure I like the tough police aura you're putting out.
Are you clairvoyant, too?
Too?
Well, as well as being the most attractive girl I've seen in years.
Oh. Robert Arlington, alias Frederick Hanson, alias Henry Law, alias Robert Elam. You think of a name and the FBI will hang it on to this character, John. Very efficient bunch they are, too, insofar as to produce a photograph. Here, take a look at it.
Mm. Yeah, he could pass as good-looking.
Could he? I think you need an eyesight test.
Anything on the others?
Nothing of any importance. But after we've visited a couple of addresses, we might have something.
We?
The danger of my job is that of any other desk driver. I intend to avoid it.
Oh, by going into the field?
I don't know about the field. I'm heading for Bredbury.
Parlingway Flats?
You've got it. Frank Rainton. Coming.
All right, driver. Pull in before the junction. We'll walk the rest of the way. Right, John. Out we get. The thing in our favour is the element of surprise. I'm looking forward to seeing Rainton's face when we burst through the door.
Burst through, sir? No knock twice and ask for Lulu.
Shoulder to the door and straight in. Your shoulder, of course, if being younger than mine. And if he so much as raises a finger, hit him, and hit him hard.
Well, not so much as a caution.
One of the four men staying at Farset Farm killed Jack Asprey. And maybe Fetters the photographer. I'm having Duthwaite Tarn dragged, by the way. Fetters leaving after only 2 days strikes me as peculiar.
Yeah, but why should Fetters be murdered, sir?
Something to do with this blackmail business. I can't see a big mob using blackmail in a small way. It would have to be enormous to justify the risks involved. No. I've got an idea that blackmail was Asprey's sideline and that Fetters helped with it. The big boys wouldn't like that. And once they found out, they decided to do something about it.
They removed Asprey and Fetters.
As a theory, it's as good as any. Ah, Parling Way Flats.
There should be an indicator board somewhere.
Oh, over here, sir.
The damn fool's used his own name. F. Rainton, flat 9, ground floor. All right, John. Let's go and get him. Flat 9. Now then, John. In the manner of all the best scrum forwards, head down, shoulders to the door and into that room as hard as you can go. I'll be right behind you.
In the manner of all the best chief superintendents, sir.
You haven't earned sergeant stripes yet, and remarks like that ensure you never will.
I'll never forget your kindness, sir. Right. Here goes. Come on, sir.
I'm with you.
Hey! Now, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Frank Rainton.
Not Frank Rainton, but I don't give you any right to
call. My name is Miller, Chief Superintendent, Regional Crime Squad. I've reason to believe that you can assist us with our inquiry.
Look out, sir! Oh, watch his gun! No, I haven't done nothing. I can't help you. Why the hell can't you leave a man alone?
Well, we will, if you prove your innocence. Let me see that gun, John.
It's a 38, sir.
Yeah. I wonder if he's got a license.
Oh, no, look here.
Now, look, we can charge you with being in possession of a firearm without a license, Rainton.
Well, I've got the gun as a protection against burglars and against burks like you who break down my front door.
This 38's the only gun you have?
Well, of course it's the only one. Not a walking arsenal.
I think you might have a 9mm Luger.
A Luger? Look, what would I want with a cannon like that?
To remove people like Jack Asprey, the former manager of the Pym Club.
Oh, I know. No, look here, copper. I mean, that killing had nothing to do with me.
Prove it.
How can I? I mean, it's so far back in time. Look, I can't remember what I was doing.
What if I told you we'd found that Luger among your belongings?
Hey? Oh, no, it's a plant. Look, I don't have no Luger. I didn't kill Asprey.
But you might know who killed him, Rainton. And if you know, we're going to find out.
Regional Crime Squad, Chief Inspector Prime speaking. Oh, yes. Good evening, Mrs. Levers. No. No, he isn't, I'm afraid. Not at the moment. Is there anything I can do? Just John Mann. I see. Yes, well, he is on the premises, and I'll let him know as soon as possible. Yes, I'll tell him. Yes, indeed. Right. Yes, goodbye.
Has Marn finished with Rayton?
Yeah, no, not yet, sir.
Ah, he's a good lad, Bert. He's smart. I thought I'd let him have a go at that villain in there. Might teach him one or two tricks, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think he's learned one or two already, sir. Just had Mrs. Levers on the telephone.
No?
She asked for our John Marn. Wouldn't tell me a thing. Just John Marn, she said. Just him.
Ah, he's a popular lad. People stick knives into him, run over his ankles with large saloon cars, try to shoot him with 38 revolvers, and want to cop to him as Frank Rayton's doing right now, we hope. I wish I had half Marn's personality. Might get the respect I deserve. What category does Mrs. Levers come into? Dealing death or bearing soul?
I told you, sir, she wouldn't say a dicky bird to me.
Did she sound upset?
Well, it's hard to tell. She could have been, but, well, not enough to talk to the first policeman she can contact.
Only our John Marn.
Only to him, sir. She was very emphatic about it.
Ah, the copper everyone's emphatic about.
Am I supposed to understand that, sir?
Well, it's just our chief showing signs of jealousy, John. Mrs. Levers telephoned asking for you.
She was emphatic in asking for you.
Oh, was she? Anything in particular?
Well, there's two ways of finding out, telephone or visit. But for God's sake, John, remember, she's the wife of a local JP. I don't want a jealous husband hanging around outside my office.
Well, there's nothing like that between Mrs. Levers and me, sir.
Yeah, John, your chief was pulling your leg.
Oh, is he?
Of course I am. Now, do you mind telling me what Rainton coughed in my office? Here, you haven't left him alone in there, have you?
Oh, no, sir, no. One of the uniform branches with him.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I had a terrifying picture of what a man like Rayton could do to my files.
Well, he hasn't said much, sir, except denying that he murdered Jack Asprey.
Well, we'd expect him to say that, wouldn't we?
Well, I believe him.
Well, do you? Why?
In the first place, well, he isn't the type to commit murder.
Not even in anger?
Well, no, sir, he hasn't got the guts, if that's what it takes to be a killer.
And?
Well, he has an alibi.
Now he tells us.
Well, he has, sir, and it holds water. I've checked.
Well, what do you think of that, Bert?
I'd say we were up some kind of pole.
And 10-1 is greased.
Not quite, sir.
Why not?
Well, I did manage to persuade him to cop Robert Illum's address.
Ah, now that's definitely something along the right lines. The Home Office will be pleased. They want our American friend deported.
Oh, I've been on to the Metropolitan Police, sir. They're arranging everything.
Nice work, John. Don't you think so, Bert?
Oh, yes, sir. All this emphasis. He has a very definite personality.
Do we give our new detective a bit of news?
Well, I'd make him guess at it, sir, just as a check on his ability.
Right. John, the Lakeland police dragged Duthwaite Tarn. They came across some obstruction they couldn't move, so they put a frogman into the water. You tell me what he found.
The photographer, Philip Fetters.
You'd make a golfer, all in one. Fetters indeed, or what was left of him. Identified by a signet ring and confirmed by an impression taken of his teeth. He'd been shot.
With a 9mm Luger?
Yes. And we assume it's the same gun used on Asprey. Impossible to determine the exact time of death, but I'd lay better than evens it was shortly after he stormed away from Farset Farm.
After the argument with Jones?
Yeah. Well, I'm having a watch kept on Mr. Roland Jones. Nothing much we can do about him at the moment, but sometime soon I want you to call on him.
To put in the frighteners?
The frighteners?
We've nothing on him, have we? So what we want to do is to start him running.
And then trip him up.
You ever seen what happens to a running man when he's tripped up, John?
Oh, yes, sir. He falls flat on his face.
Exactly. Now, you better get off and see Mrs. Lever. She might have something for you.
Oh, right. Yes, sir.
And, John, make sure that what she's got is police business.
Oh, yes, sir, I will. As ever. A Beatles fan, Mrs. Levers?
Not the group as such. I like the numbers played by someone else. Oh. Tea or coffee? I've prepared both.
Oh, for me? Hmm. Oh, I'm surprised. I thought we were, well, to put it mildly, not the best of friends.
I wouldn't say we were the best of friends, even now, Constable. And I did ask, tea or coffee?
Oh, coffee, thank you.
You remember the last time we met?
Oh, very well. We talked about blackmail, of which you denied all knowledge.
Yes. You don't smoke, do you?
No, thank you.
Perhaps I've been foolish.
A lot of people are, Mrs. Leavers.
Well, that doesn't make it any easier for me to admit it.
Well, a few things in this world are easy.
Oh, I've forgotten your interest in suffering humanity.
Just lately developed, I assure you.
Tell me about it sometime.
Well, I'd be much more interested in what you have to tell me, Mrs. Leavers.
I said I'd been foolish, which I have.
You were being blackmailed?
Yes.
By Asprey?
Yes. I would like you to understand, Constable Mann, that in spite of appearances to the contrary, I am, and always have been, faithful to my husband.
I don't doubt it.
Some might.
Yes.
I didn't tell my husband about my visits to the Pym Club. He has a certain position in local society which he needs to maintain. Unfortunately, because of the foolishness, which I admit, I jeopardized that position.
By gambling?
Gambling. And a minor indiscretion.
Care to tell me about it?
As this appears to be a confession, I suppose I'd better. I did not go to the Pym Club unescorted.
I see.
Do you? It isn't easy for a woman like me, Constable Mann, with a husband seldom here in the house. When he is, always being tied up with business. And on those occasions when we did go out together, we always had to maintain appearances. Oh, I hate that word.
The name of your escort.
Do you need to know it? He isn't important. There was nothing between us.
What was the minor indiscretion?
I allowed my escort to buy me dinner on one occasion.
In the Pym Club?
Yes, the club. But my escort had been drinking and we made a clumsy, fumbling attempt to kiss me.
Ah, and someone just happened to appear with a camera.
No, that's just it. To all intents and purposes, we were alone. Except for the waiter, of course, and he'd gone to fetch more drinks. But a photograph had been taken. Asprey showed it to me.
Well, with a demand?
Yes. I was to pay a certain sum into Asprey's account, and the photographs, including the negative, would be handed to me.
And you believed it?
Well, had I any option?
Well, I have to say yes. So you did have an option. Well, it's never an easy decision to make, but
A visit to the police could have squashed the blackmail attempt before it ever got a chance of getting off the ground. Well, we do try to be discreet, Mrs. Leeds. I mean, we make a distinction between a human failing and a criminal offence.
But my husband would have been involved.
Well, I don't see how you can avoid him being involved now, Mrs. Leeds.
No.
I'm sorry. It's better to tell him straight out. I mean, explosions die down, you know. They don't go on forever.
They seem to.
Now, this blackmail attempt.
When Asprey died, I thought then that all I had to do was to find the photographs in the negative and destroy them.
So you visited Mrs. Asprey?
Well, you know about that. I did visit Mrs. Asprey, but someone had beaten me to it.
And whoever that someone is has contacted you?
Yesterday. By telephone.
A demand?
Direct and to the point. A certain sum of money.
How much?
£1,000.
Oh, I've seen a very expensive photograph.
Oh, please.
Well, how did you reply to the demand?
I said I'd think it over.
And then you tried to contact me?
Yes.
Did you recognize the blackmailer's voice?
No, it was rough, uneducated.
Not at all like Asprey's?
Well, Asprey had a certain suavity. Might have been assumed, but he did it well and he never seemed forced. This other voice was, as I've said, rough, uneducated.
Well, do you think it could have been someone familiar to you? You know, disguising his voice?
It's a possibility. Although at the moment I'd say no.
I see.
I contacted you in the hope that you might offer me some advice.
Well, I'll offer it, Mrs. Leavers, but will you take it?
I might.
Well, when you told whoever it was on the telephone that you'd think over this business about the £1,000, well, what did he say?
Tomorrow or else. Just that. Tomorrow or else. Ooh, I can hear that voice now. It was... Ooh.
And did this voice suggest a meeting place?
Yes, the Gunman's Arms.
Oh, I know it. On the Cheshire border.
Yes. It's a local for the county set.
Of which you are one.
Oh, am I?
Well, I'd say so, Mrs. Leavers.
Then I must accept it, mustn't I?
Well, as you must accept meeting this blackmail.
No!
Yes. But don't worry. Now, I have an idea in mind.
I've never liked owls. One of them put the fear of God into me when I was a young copper. I was passing a cemetery at the time. And I heard something. It sounded like heavy breathing. I was keen, you know, eager for a bit of action. I thought maybe a vagrant kipping out, so I crept into this cemetery. A creepy place full of twisted yew trees. You ever noticed a yew tree at night, John? The shadows they cast? They look like men. Giants. Anyway, there's me in the cemetery and beginning to wonder why I bothered anyway. And then this damned owl started up. It sounded like a soul in torment.
What did you do, sir?
I got out of it fast as I could. To hell with the vagrant, I thought. If he wants to sleep in a cemetery, he's welcome. What time is it?
It's just about 10:30, sir.
No sign of our blackmailer.
Well, give him time.
Yeah, about 3 years, if we're lucky. Yeah, he'll have to hurry. The pub will be closing in 10 minutes.
I wonder how Mrs. Leavers is feeling.
A damn sight worse than you or me, I shouldn't wonder. It can't be easy for us, sitting there in a lighted window, knowing that beside ourselves, someone else might be watching and waiting.
Oh, she's a cool customer, sir.
I had noticed.
And an attractive one.
I noticed that, too. And that she's married.
Yes, sir.
Talking about marriage.
Now, were we?
Well, we are now. Well, haven't you ever taken the bridal path, John? Let's say you were eligible enough.
Can I use that as a testimonial, sir?
Seriously, I'm interested.
Well, I was engaged once.
Thank God for small mercies. It shows you're human, at least. You know, what happened? Did you break it off?
Well, I suppose you could say that, sir. She was killed.
Well.
Oh, you weren't to know.
No.
We met in France. She wanted to get married in England. I wanted a last bit of excitement, I suppose you'd call it. Well, I travelled with an old friend as co-driver in his car. She flew back. The plane crashed. There were no survivors.
Sorry, John.
Oh, some time ago. I'm over it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm pleased, you know, sir. makes it a bit easier somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're turning out of the gunmans.
A bit sharp off the mark, aren't they?
Well, with two of my detectives posing as waiters, if you were that publican, would you want to risk your license?
There's Mrs. Levers.
Where? Oh, yes. Damn the woman, she's coming straight towards us. No. No, she's veering off.
Hey, someone's called to her.
From that Jagger in the corner.
I'll get out.
We want that man, John.
Now, don't worry, sir. I'll get him.
How do I know you have the photographs?
How do I know you got the money?
It's all in this parcel. £1,000 in single notes, as you asked.
A fair swap. You're locked in here. Now approach nice and slow, Mrs. Levers. And remember, I scare easily.
There isn't much light. I can't see.
Well, we don't want you setting your pretty peepers on me face now, do we?
Well, I wouldn't tell the police.
Not as of now, you wouldn't. Later on, it might be different.
I promise.
Promises don't hold much water in this game, lovey. Come on now, hand over the money.
If you hand over the photographs...
Oh, spare in love and what...
Good evening, Manny.
Hey. What goes on?
Oh, please be careful, Mr.
Now, let's have a talk, Manny, shall
Mr.
we?
Mr. Moore. So it's you, is it, copper? I told you once before, I got arms on me like a gorilla boy. I eat blokes like you for breakfast.
You try it, Manny.
With pleasure. Now! You didn't like that, did you, copper? Or that? Have you ever had the boot put in, Mr. Moore?
I'll get you, Manny.
Not tonight, Josephine.
Stop that man.
Hold it there, Manny. Get lost, copper.
Did he hurt you?
Oh, yes, you might say that he did, Mrs. Levers.
Now, let me help you.
I'll be all right.
Are you sure now?
Sorry, John. Couldn't get you fast enough. You're badly hurt.
Nothing a three-month leave couldn't cure, sir.
Hey, you must be all right. He's a tough customer. Nearly had me down.
Not quite. I saw that punch. It was neat.
Well, I've dealt with a few like giving me time, John. As you will. You may take a few bruises on the way, but you'll learn.
Did you get the parcel?
Yeah. Let's have some light. There's more wrapping on it than you get at Christmas. Yeah.
There's nothing inside.
Yeah, nothing of any value. Old newspapers and a bit of string.
Oh, does that mean that it can begin all over again, that the photographs are still in existence?
No, I wouldn't think so. My guess is they've been destroyed. But there's one merchant who might be able to tell us a bit more about it.
Manny Thompson.
Manny Thompson. Let's have him down the station, John. We'll see just how tough he really is.
You've had me here for an hour and nothing's happened. How much longer do I have to wait?
Until Mr. Miller has time to deal with you, Manny.
No, I need me beauty sleep.
You'll get it. In time.
It's all very well you talking. Your chief assaulted me. I could have him for that.
You've a nerve. What you did to me out in that car?
Well, I didn't know who you were, did I? You came creeping up like the cat that crept into the crypt. You could have been a villain or any protecting myself.
You called me by my name.
Never.
Look, I seem to be possessed of a better memory than you are, man.
Like an elephant.
What was that?
Look, I could have your chief, you know. Oh, yeah, I know me rights. He assaulted me. I could have him for that. If I was a vindictive man, which I am not.
Well, he is.
Hey.
He doesn't like villains who assault policemen. And he doesn't like blackmailers. No, he doesn't like them at all.
Well, Edmund Mamwell Thompson. The nastiest piece of work I've yet to meet.
Yeah, that's flaming slander, that is. I've got witnesses. Your constable, Marne, over there, writing it all down.
He hasn't written a word, have you, John?
Oh, no, sir.
It's a conspiracy. It's a frame you're applying. Pressure.
Pressure? Oh, no, Manny, not yet. We haven't even started.
You got it in for me.
Yeah, you might say that.
I do say it, because I had to go up Marne. You want me down here to put a boot in?
They're your tactics, Manny, not ours. We apply pressures of a different sort.
Yeah, that's a threat. I don't like threats.
Well, I don't like blackmailers.
Well, a man's got to live.
Not by your methods.
I want a solicitor.
Yes, in good time. One or two questions I want you to answer.
Stick them.
And answer them you will.
Put them where the monkey sticks his nuts.
Manny, I don't mind if we have to sit here all night until you make up your mind to answer my questions. The patience of Job, haven't I, John?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, the patience of Job.
So you think about it, Manny. You take your time.
I don't need time to think. I've thought. I'll answer nothing.
I think you will.
Never.
There's the murder of Jack Asprey still open on our books.
Oh, I didn't do no murder and you know it.
Asprey died with a bank balance of £15,000. £15,000. You knew about that money. I'll bet you didn't like it. A club manager with more loot stashed away than a club owner.
I'd say you were jealous of Jack Asprey, wouldn't you, John?
Jealous enough to kill, I'd say, sir.
No.
We say yes.
No, it was not that.
Then you tell us how it was, Manny.
No.
Yes. We know you for a violent man. If you had a problem, you'd seek a violent solution.
Like murder.
Look, I tell you, I didn't do no murder.
Prove it.
Why, so far back, I can't remember.
Ah, try.
Manny, now look, you listen to me.
We've had the Pym Club searched by experts. They found the two-way mirror, the one used to obtain the photographs of Mrs. Levers. And we know you made an attempt at blackmail. We can prove it. You assaulted two policemen in your attempt to escape. We can have you put away for a long, long time. But a possibility exists. It's just a possibility, mind. If you help us with our inquiries into the Asprey killing, well, we might go easy with the blackmail and assault charges. We might.
Yeah, likely, isn't it?
Sir? As Marn said, we might, or we might not.
Blackmail and assault, 6 years, sir?
Oh, at the very least, I think.
6 years?
6 years, possibly more.
You can't have me sent away for 6 years.
Can't we?
Well, you'd help?
We might, depending on what you give us.
Yeah. All right, what do you want to know?
Ah. Any luck?
He's caught the lot, sir. Names, addresses, the lot.
As soon as I saw him, I knew he'd crack. Have a look about them.
Yeah, especially Manny.
Too many years in the ring.
Yeah, I think so, sir.
Hey, who killed Asprey?
A specialist, hired by an organisation. And Manny knew him by nickname, Toady. He comes from Newcastle. And for the benefit of his experience, he gets £3,000 a job.
And Fetters, a photographer?
Toady again.
This organisation?
American-owned. Exactly, as Ron Kay said. Robert Illham was their link man. Now, he made the contacts in the gambling clubs and were the owners of the one-armed bandits. It's a mighty big cake, sir. The organisation acquired portions of it.
Sparks of terrorism?
Well, in some cases. Often they use money. They bought it.
Where did Asprey fit in?
Well, he and Fetters were local members of the organisation.
Members who got too big for their boots?
Well, no way. They didn't like the size of their cut, so they decided to boost their earnings with a sideline.
Blackmail?
Yeah. Well, the organisation found out, realised that if we investigated the blackmail, we might uncover their activities and destroy their business. So they brought in the killer, Toady.
A violent solution.
Well, he removed the cause of the trouble.
And destroyed the photograph of Mrs. Levers.
Oh, yes, sir, yes. All the evidence of blackmail was removed.
And, why did Asprey, Fetters and Co. visit the Lake District?
Well, it was a meeting called by the organisation. The one subject on the agenda was the blackmailing business.
Was it a trial?
Well, of sorts.
Oh. Hey, Fetters appears to have made a run for it. Why didn't Asprey?
Well, I think he pointed the finger at Fetters as the man responsible. Once Fetters was out of the way, Asprey thought he was in the clear.
Ah, but the organisation knew better.
Yeah, they did indeed. Asprey's fate had already been decided. Judgment was passed and the sentence was eventually carried out.
They took their time.
Well, why should they hurry? When they waited to see if Fetters would be missed.
They're a cool bunch.
Well, they're professionals and businessmen. They protect their interests.
There has to be a local big chief.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, there is.
Roland Jones?
Yes, Mr. Roland Jones. I'm going to get him now, sir.
All right, all right. No need to knock the door down.
Mr. Roland Jones?
Just who the hell do you think you are, waking up the whole house? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Are you mad?
Mr. Jones?
Yes, I'm Jones. Oh, for God's sake, shut up, you bloody fool! Oh, I said I'm Jones. Who are you?
A detective, Constable Marn, from the Regional Crime Squad.
Does that give you an automatic right to come knocking on my door in the middle of the night? Well,
we have reason to believe you can help with our inquiries, sir.
We have reason? What do you mean by we? There's only you, isn't there?
I'd like you to accompany me to the station.
Ring me in the morning and arrange an appointment. I'll fit you in when I can. I'm a busy man. Look, do you mind taking your foot out of my door?
I'll wait while you dress.
You? Now, you listen to me.
I think you'd better do the listening, Mr. Jones. I could arrest you.
Try it.
For the obstruction of a police officer and the execution of his duty. We don't want that kind of fuss now, do we?
No, you cheeky...
Will you come quietly?
I'll fix you, son. One of these days, I'll fix you.
I'm sure you'll try, sir. Now, are you going to dress? Or do I take you down to the station in your pajamas?
Come in.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Oh, yes, I did, John. Pull up a chair. Oh,
thank you, sir.
Now, I expect you're wondering what this is all about.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have a letter of commendation from the chief constable of the county.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
It's not for me.
Oh.
Relax, John. This isn't an execution.
No, sir.
A cup of coffee, help?
Thanks, no. I've already had one with Chief Inspector Bryan.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't Blue Mountain.
Instant.
Yes, sir.
Then the Lord help your stomach. I don't know where my admin officer acquires his jars of instant coffee, but I do have my suspicions.
A local tip, sir?
Yeah, I always did say you'd make a detective.
My vocation.
Ah, don't bring that word into a reasonable conversation. Well, you've done a good job of work, John, and I add my congratulations to those of the chief constable. You proved my theory about the one man concentrating on the one job, and anyone who proves a theory of mine has my undying gratitude.
Thank you, sir.
You're one of the new breed of policemen, do you know that? One of those Ron Kay calls the men of the lonely beat.
Well, he has a flair for the melodramatic.
Yes, but it sells newspapers.
Is that all that counts, sir?
Yeah, of course not. It's a system, John. It exists. We go along with it, but we're subversives at heart. As we are with police practice, we want results, John. We want them quickly. Tomorrow's too late. You know, the day will come when we can alter all the old-fashioned systems. Blow them sky high. I'm building the bomb. You provide the fuse.
That makes us anarchists.
No, no. It makes us efficient hunters. And in our job, efficiency is the main requirement.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. John, I want to ask you a question.
Yes?
Well, now that this case is over, how do you feel?
Well, a certain professional pride. Well, apart from that, a feeling of anticlimax. I feel flat.
Yeah. Can you explain that?
Well, I can try. All right, I mean, we know who killed Ashbury. We'll catch him, have him convicted and have him sentenced. But I'm enough of a realist to know that once in prison, some will arrange for pressures to be applied. Our killer will change his statement, assuming that he does make a statement.
Oh, he will, to protect himself.
Well, he'll indict Jones, Rainton, and the American, Illum. Well, that's at the trial.
And once in prison?
Well, he'll retract, deny everything.
With what result?
Well, Jones and Rainton will be released, on the grounds of insufficient evidence against them.
Yeah. Smart lawyer could get him out now, we both know that. And I agree with the whole of your assessment. Thank you for being honest with me. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Jones and Rainton will go free, John. But by God, we've frightened them. They won't dip their fingers into this patch again. We've proved ourselves efficient hunters. They, the villains, won't forget.
I hope not, sir.
So do I, John. So do I.
In Lonely Beat, by William Keenan, adapted by David Bramley, the cast was as follows. Detective Constable Mann, Brian Peck. Chief Superintendent Miller, John Hollis. Chief Inspector Bryan, James Beck. Mrs. Levers, Heather Stoney. Manny Thompson, David Marlowe. Anne, Stephanie Turner. Mrs. Asprey, Ruth Holden. Ron Kay, Brian Miller. Landlord, Ronald Harvey. Mechanic, Robert Peck. Frank Rainton, Colin Edwin. The play was produced by Alan Eckbourne.